Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even better than the real thing, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Spurs move the post and Rory Delap has a son. It's Friday, 25th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Addy Russell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Welcome, everybody, to this fabulous Friday. Before we get into all that beautiful football chutney, oh, Andy, you and Dotton had Lars on the continent yesterday. How did it go? What did you talk about?
It was a wonderful occasion. And, of course, we got the big names involved. We were talking about the future of Kylian Mbappe, Luis Suarez, and could he be the signing that changes Atletico's season? And given the esteemed company, I think Schalke would have been quite happy to have snuck under the door and say, well, we lost 8-0 to Bayern, but we got on with these big guys.
We got to mention.
They'll take that.
Yeah. Indeed they will. Well, search Football Ramble Presents and subscribe to make sure you didn't miss out on an episode of On the Continent. It's the only place you need for the best European football chat.
You'd
agree with that, Andy, wouldn't you?
I would agree with that.
Wholeheartedly.
Andy, would you agree that you are, in fact, the best?
Look, I'm not saying it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marcus, would you say Andy's the best?
I mean, he did nod and take his top off. Swirl it round his head.
He's now got his tie around his forehead.
Yeah.
Sadly, we're being filmed, so you can't prove that.
Indeed, yeah. He would have taken his trousers off as well if his beloved Sevilla had won the Super Cup last night, but they didn't. They had a chance to win it, Andy, at the end of the 90.
They had a chance, Marcus, but it was one chance. That they had been under the cosh for quite a lot of that game. And why I thought Sevilla could take Bayern the distance before this, and I can't think of a team that's given Bayern that much trouble in recent months, or perhaps even under the Hansi Flick reign. They can absorb pressure. And we saw that in the Europa League in Germany, didn't we? Jules Koundé, again, I thought, underlined why Manchester City is so interested in him. Apart from the bit where he snapped Lewandowski in half, although, you know, maybe that's a positive. Who knows?
Depends on your outlook.
For a big defender. But, they had the chance to win it. Would they have stolen it? They would have stolen it, I think.
And, I understand. Look, the right team won, Andy. I don't think anybody's questioning that. But in the sort of finer points of the game, Luke, it was 1-1. There was a few minutes left. They had a 1-1, and it was a great save from Neuer. And I was thinking to myself, "Oh,
can
Andy,
you give him the full title, 2014 World Cup Neuer?"
Yeah, it was a bit that, wasn't it?
It was.
And the reason that happened, Marcus, is because Bayern Munich are the team of the simulation that controls all of us in this universe.
Indeed.
And they will not be stopped unless Jose Mourinho sends a team from the future to stop them. But we'll wait and see. I mean, at the moment, he can't even get the goalpost that he wants.
No. So. it was a good one for Bayern, and as you say, the right team won, blah, 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 blah. But there was a lot of European football last night. And what business with the goalposts with Spurs? We suddenly have pictures emerging on social media of Jose Mourinho going out and trying to touch the crossbar. Going, look, it's tiny.
I'm only 5'2". Yeah. Look what I can do.
The thing is, of course, he would know intuitively because, of course, his dad was a goalkeeper.
Yes. He was. And do you think that's going to be the next in Jose's kind of armoury of deflection tactics, which will have to be employed at some point for the rest of the season?
Oh, yes.
He's going to walk out on the pitch at the Emirates and go, well, actually, that is that regulation.
Like
Woody Harrelson's character in White Men Can't Jump, who can't dunk a basketball. and he said, I'm not sure that's regulation, you know. That's what Mourinho's going to do. Mourinho is the Billy Hoyle of Premier League football.
Well, I don't think anyone could have looked at that and thought, it takes a thief to catch a thief.
Yeah. Oh, poacher term gamekeeper.
There you go.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, of course, you always think that the phrase changing the goalpost would apply to this, but they didn't actually change the goalpost. They just lifted them up 5 centimetres. And they're like, oh, that was sunken into the pitch. We had no idea. Sorry.
I'm a bit confused as to how that's possible with a proper professional setup. I thought they're put rigidly in place. They're held in position to avoid that situation. And they can't be adjusted. You need some kind of groundskeeper and a bit of time and the groundsman staff to actually change them.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought if I'm going to measure a goal to its exact regulation specifications, I look at what the North Macedonian Premier League is doing.
It's a bit sarcasm, isn't it?
Sounds like a dig.
Yeah.
A rare dig.
Yeah. That's what we're rubbing off on him. He used to be a serious and credible broadcaster.
I was going to say, sorry about that, Andy.
Since I've taken my top off, really.
Yeah. You decided to fight this war with us, though, so it's ultimately your fault. Some British sides went through last night, others didn't. Poor old Motherwell and Aberdeen. Mm. They went out, sadly.
You saw that a lot, though, can't you? About
To be fair, I mean, only 1-0 away to Sporting, although Sporting were missing players due to testing positive for COVID.
But yeah, that's right. They escaped Lisbon, in fact, to prepare for the game in the Algarve. They shut all the players who had it in Alcochete, the training ground, and left them to recover from it. And they all went and had a little warm weather training camp.
When you said Alcochete, I honestly thought you were going to say they chucked them all in Alcatraz. I was like, did big Sean Connery bust them
out of there? They won't get out of there.
Not without the big man's help, certainly.
Which, who would be the Birdman of Alcatraz in that situation?
Which one's it? Who's the Birdman?
Birdman's that famous inmate of Alcatraz.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Back in the day, Eric Dyer.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but it's not Sporting that's got the eagle, is it? It's Benfica. So.
That's true.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough European football chat, Russell.
I think so.
To the point where I say this every week.
I fooled you again.
Gave him his own show. Literally gave him his own show. We didn't shut up about it.
All right, let's bring it home then. What about Liam Delap, Rory's son? That's nice, isn't it? He scored and it wasn't a throw-in.
Do you know what I said to Andy before? I said, because it was amazing. First of all, it's amazing that Roy Delap's got a son.
Yeah.
Because it makes us all feel old.
And he's 17.
Secondly, he was born
of that age.
He was born in 2003.
Yeah,
which is incredible. And thirdly, the first thing I could think of, despite the fact that he scored on his debut.
He hasn't played much for Manchester City.
Okay, so he scored a goal for Man City.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought was, in my mind, without even being able to stop myself, was, oh, did he take any throw-ins?
Yeah, that's right.
Is he good at throw-ins?
Yeah.
Did his old man assist him? Yeah, then Andy said that his old man was watching from home with his ball towel chucked into his chinos. That's my boy.
It's a lovely finish, though. Tell you what, Pep Guardiola said they've only got 13 fit players for the game against Leicester City. I thought, is he doing a Harry Redknapp? He's after a fullback, I assume. You know,
if all of us team together here in this room after hearing that, do you think we could muster enough for a subatomic particle of sympathy? Between us,
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm not going to add anything to that particle.
I've just done a scan of the room, and there's not an atom of sympathy in it.
But I'm very, very pumped for Brendy, for brother Brendy.
Oh yeah, big time. But is it mind games, Marcus?
Almost certainly.
Is it Pep's idea of? Is it Pep's version of just checking the goalpost?
Is he? But I don't think he's capable of mind games, though. Andy, Pep Guardiola, is he? Often when he gets into that, it's a bit Rafa Benitez. He kind of ties himself up in knots and, you know, plays some weird sort of, you know, I don't know, 1-6-4 formation or something and goes out of the semi-final of the Champions League.
Is the passive aggressiveness post-match a mind game? Because I've never been so happy. Yeah. Literally never happy.
How amazing would it be if Pep complained about the players that he didn't have available for Leicester? They lost to Leicester, yet somehow that meant they were knocked out the Champions League. Oh, just shit the small print and that actually means you're out the Champions League now. Oh, not again. But have they got serious injury problems, Man City? Is that a thing at the moment?
I mean, Aguero's sort of struggling, isn't he? And there's sort of one or two others, but I mean, mean, yeah, one positive for Manchester City is that, you know, Delap scored, and so that'll give him some confidence, you know, and obviously Foden got the other one. Foden's getting more minutes. Guardiola said about Delap, you know, well, let's not... I didn't say these words, but it was sort of like, you know, it's great for him, but, you know, remember Foden, it took a while took for a him while, to yeah. sort of bed him in.
So their list of unavailable players are Nicolas Otamendi, Joao Cancelo, Amrit Laporte, Alexander Zinchenko, Gundogan, Bernardo Silva, and Aguero.
And Gareth Barry.
Yeah.
And also, they've lost another young un to Dortmund this week. That's been confirmed, hasn't it? Jamie Bino Gittens, who's
great
16.
Name.
Yeah.
So, do you know what?
Excellent.
I run people out there who are a fan of Luke's game, and I appreciate the support.
I think that's every. I think you can say everybody.
Manchester City and Dortmund. You can name two.
No. I ran a quiz on the radio with Danny Kelly once, which was 18th century parliamentarian or academy player in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Because there are so many double barrels, it's impossible to tell. Maybe I'll run it next week if there's enough interest.
Borthwick Jackson.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Jazzy Barnum Bob. Come on. Must be members of the aristocracy. No.
Do you think that that's based on what we just said and not having sympathy for City and all that kind of stuff, before the Man City fans...
I have an ounce of sympathy.
With their bucket hats on, swagger down here in their parkas and start calling us wankers.
I do quite like that vibe.
That's a serious amount of injuries, to be fair. It's a lot of players out.
It is, yeah.
It is. And I tell you who has less sympathy than us, Jamie Vardy.
Oh, yeah, he's going to really... Does he have any sympathy for anybody?
He smells blood, though.
He doesn't even have sympathy for himself. We've seen what he does to himself when he misses a chance. Which is a bit, he starts punching himself in the face. What would he do to other people that he doesn't have any sympathy for if he could get away with it, for crying out loud? My goodness.
Do you think he'll take advantage? Is that the thinking?
I think he will take full advantage, absolutely, with big Harvey Barnes, who's been impressing of late as well.
More on them on Fourth of Score later as well.
You'd suspect so, wouldn't you? Gentlemen, they're quiet neighbours. Manchester United are away to Brighton this weekend. Brighton have been playing well of late. But one thing I want to draw your attention to is Bruno Fernandes, who's been, I suppose it's right to say, defending his penalty exploits in Manchester United's matchday programme. It's quite an odd one. He said, we can't talk about a lot of penalties because everyone will say Bruno only scores with penalties. If others score them, it's no problem. They just score a penalty, you know. Penalties are a part of the game, you know. We need to score. You have the chance, but you need to score.
I think Bruno needs to be really careful here, because what is it about people who never miss penalties and conspiracy theories?
Yeah.
Go on.
Matt, big Matt Atisio, mate.
Oh, yeah.
I
don't want Bruno to go in that direction.
Can I take that a further step and say that I can, in the words of the great Ian McGarry, I can exclusively reveal that Matt Atisio followed our very own Jules Breach on Twitter the other day.
He's after us.
She shared it on our WhatsApp group. She was saying, look, guys, this has happened. So is he on to us? I mean, he probably thinks that
these are our words, not Jules's.
No, these are our words, absolutely. But does Matt Atisio think that, for example, the three men in this room are shape-shifting lizards? For example,
do you want to know just if you're his favourite lizard?
No, I want to be his least favourite lizard.
Yeah, I think.
I want him to be the supervillain and nemesis in the Marvel movie of my life.
Yeah,
and I want to defeat him.
I think have to say that sounds like a very underwhelming.
I think it might be quite easy. I don't think it would be very long. I'd either fuck it up or he would easily roll over. So.
Marvel shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's an idea, Andy. I find it quite strange. Yeah, Bruno Fernandes, people saying, "Oh, well, he only scores with penalties." Blah blah blah.
Who is saying that though? Is that a straw man? Has it actually been accused? I've not seen the criticism of that.
I think it's a straw man.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. Yeah. And Bruno spends all his time bossing other people around, so I'm not sure anyone can get. I mean, it's ironic me saying this, but I'm not sure anyone else can get a word in. You know?
Yeah, I did. It's just nice to see that he's a bit prickly about the pens, Andy.
Absolutely.
But he's got a lot more to his game, I think we could all agree.
Certainly, maybe his nose is out of joint because he feels that Jorginho has stolen his skip and hop.
Maybe, but he's...
Because Jorginho has definitely taken that a level up. And it didn't work on Alisson. So maybe it's kind of freaked Bruno Fernandes.
But we've seen more penalties in this country taken by Jorginho, but we've seen Jorginho miss a few. Was it League Cup final in the penalty shootout? I think he missed.
Oh, yeah.
And then he missed one, obviously.
The Kepa final. Kepa refused to go off. That one.
That's right, yeah. All the usual suspects. And obviously he missed one the other day.
Now he can't wait to get off the fucking pitch.
Well, sorry when I need him for crying. Yeah. But Fernandes also said, I know everybody is talking about them, penalties, like it's easy, but you can lose a final with a penalty.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, who's supplying his information? Yeah. Is it Matt Letizier?
I don't know why.
Oh, they're easy. I scored like 45 out of 46. Stop following him, but Bruno.
It was easy for me to score those penalties, said Matt Letizier, because the pitch was very flat.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that at St Mary's had
naughty.
Would it have been St Mary's then? Might have been the Dell. They had
both a flat.
Yeah, they had a very flat pitch.
Very flat.
Yeah, it's easier for him. I don't like the skip and the penalty run up, as you guys know. I think it's just pointless. What's the rationale behind it? Has it ever been explained?
To keep a move, it's because you can't do the Patagonia,
the stutter,
the mini stop anymore.
Yeah.
Because in fact, it was Fred, one of my favourite Brazilian footballers, obviously, from his time with Leon. I must have told you that story about how he arrived back 10 days late from the winter break, and he arrived straight to the training ground with his suitcases still in his car and wearing a Stetson. I mean, that says contrition, doesn't it?
Yeah. But when it says ill discipline to me.
That's your opinion, Marcus. But
and the opinion of the club, no doubt.
When he was taking a penalty in a shootout for Fluminense, he did like the ultimate Patagonia, where he did like six dummies. And then eventually the keeper went and he put it in the other corner. And the authorities thought,
they put a law in where they said you can't stop. You have to maintain momentum. Is that
exactly,
right?
That's it.
Okay.
I love this. Bruno, you're talking about shooter. Bruno Fernandes is very close here to say, you know, penalties are very difficult to take and so on. I mean, obviously, it's not a given. They're expected to score. I understand they're not easy. But he's dangerously close to getting really annoyed and going, I came here for a shootout.
I always, as
it's always worth bringing up again.
As regular listeners to the show will know, I always kind of fall back on the wisdom of ex-Ramble FC goalkeeper Big Pav.
Oh, Big Pav. Big Show Pav.
Yeah, Big Show Pav, who's he's a president of or chairman of a club in the non-league now.
Catholic United.
Yeah, but anyway, he said, if you, he used to say, but if you ever get a penalty, just smash the lever off it.
I love Big Show. Next job. Have a squeeze.
Exactly.
How would you say I came here for a shootout in Portuguese, Andy? just in case Fernandes says that and we know.
You see, there's never a word in European languages for shootout.
What is it?
It's like...
penalty competition.
It's like shots at goal.
Okay, just do it in Portuguese and we can all move on.
Yeah.
Trying to think of it.
Oh. All right, you do it in the second half.
All right, okay. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. to be fair to Adam, we just bring it on him.
Yeah, but he does speak the language, though. Yeah. Someone said to me, in English, how do you say this? I'll be able to answer it straight away.
Most of the time.
Yeah, actually, for crying out loud, don't test me on that.
Yeah.
Look, speaking English is not as easy as it looks. quickly, Andy, before we move on, Alex Telles. Porto playing a little bit of hardball with Manchester United. We expected this. At the time of recording, no deal has been done. Do you think a deal will be reached, and will Manchester United wake up drunk, penniless and nude?
This is like a much smaller version of the Jadon Sancho deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because why I was expressing my confidence in how easy it would be to get done, they're asking for about 21 million euros.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
21 million euros for one of the best left backs out there. I know he's into the last year of his contract, but what's their rationale? We can't afford that. Yeah. We want to pay 4 million less. Mm-hmm. Why? Yeah. Just buy him.
I know. I was surprised at that as well. When I saw the price, I thought, because even Telles himself said, you know, can you lower it a bit so I can go?
I mean, Paris Saint-Germain, who were very interested before,
yeah,
who Pinto da Costa, the president of Porto, said had agreed a deal going back to spring before COVID changed everything. I do wonder if it gets to a certain point where they're like, this is taking the piss. We've got to pay this and buy him.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've got a bit more time, haven't they? I mean, the problem with Sancho is that, I mean, we don't want to go into it in detail, but because you've already talked about
it. You can't run
it.
The clock with someone who's got that many years left on their contract.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Gentlemen, Chelsea are away to West Brom on Saturday, early evening, 5:30 kickoff. What do you make of Ruben Loftus-Cheek may go off on loan? I would like to see him get a bit of football because I think he's a decent player. Obviously, he's had his injury problems and so on and so forth. Aston Villa and West Ham are interested. I mean, at the moment, you probably choose Villa over the two. We spoke about West Ham, was it yesterday on the pod, for crying out loud. Lampard said about Loftus-Cheek, there's a lot more to come from Ruben, but the nature of this game is very reactionary. So unfortunately, people will say it as if they see it without knowing the story behind the scenes.
Well, what are people saying? I think that's maybe a little unfair because most of the things I've read about Ruben Loftus-Cheek and most of the people I've spoken to about Ruben Loftus-Cheek have really not said he's not good enough. No one said that.
No.
They've all sort of expressed concern for his physical state and say that maybe he needs a bit of work in a place that's a little less pressured than Chelsea, and maybe he won't get the minutes to get himself back to that sort of fitness at Chelsea.
I mean, that's the only thing. Really.
I don't think he's unreasonable. I don't really get what Frank Lampard's getting at there, unless I'm missing something.
I feel the same as Andy, and I would just add that I think he's 24 now, and he's made what 100 appearances. Probably he's made 10. I think he's got 10 caps for England. He's a really graceful player. He's a great player to watch when he's fit, and I think I'd like to see an awful lot more of him. He needs to play football. Yeah. He's now not playing football enough. He's 24. He needs to he needs to move somewhere he's going to play. And but it may well be, reading between the lines, perhaps his body can't withstand the demands of top level football. But we're never going to find that out unless he actually plays. Mm. So he, whichever way you look at it, every road points towards him needing the move, in my opinion.
Well, and as I say, Villa and West Ham at the moment seem to be the ones who are most interested. So
I think Villa would be a nice move.
I think it would as well.
Yeah, I could see that.
Would you sort of encourage anybody to move to West Ham at the moment?
I don't want to get into that.
You did very well. Yeah, to be fair, you said your piece yesterday.
That was excellent yesterday.
Thanks, Andy.
I really enjoyed that.
I don't want to undermine a good point with a bad one today, so I'll leave it there.
Okay. Well, yeah. He's learning, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll tell you another thing.
He's twitching. Frothing at the corner of the mouth.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Trying to keep it all in.
We can't move on from this without talking about West Brom, because Slaven Bilic is reportedly interested in Emmanuel Adebayor. Come on!
Where's this come from?
Come on! I don't care.
He makes them up.
Wait, they signed Branislav Ivanovic, didn't they?
He's got a little player name generator.
Oh, come on. He last played for Olympia and Paraguay, so he's all set for the Premier League again. He was a part of the Premier League tribute act at Istanbul Başakşehir in 2019. Andy Adebayor back in the Premier League.
Did he do anything at Başakşehir?
He won the league, didn't
he? He was quite good.
Yeah,
he left before they won the league.
Okay.
He was at Olympia by that point.
Had he got
in Paraguay, which was a really unusual move, because of course he was partnering Rafael Santa Cruz up front.
That. Get him as well.
Yeah.
New strike force.
I mean, it was funny when you had Jamal Musiala breaking the Bayern record for the youngest Bundesliga goal scorer, the young Englishman, stroke German, he could choose for either team, last week. It was amazing to see that the previous holder of the youngest Bundesliga goal for Bayern was Roque Santa Cruz. And you thought, he was never 18.
No.
Come on.
And Roque Santa Cruz has always been consistently one of the most handsome footballers to ever do it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it definitely.
Just amazing. But anyway, Adebayor, I'm not really sure if what Bilic thinks Adebayor can offer, unless it's a kind of Yaya Toure training at Leyton Orient type vibe, which apparently went down an absolute treat.
He did score goals for Başakşehir, that has to be said.
Yeah. How old is he now, Marcus?
And Kayserispor.
How old is he, you guys?
Well, I think, what is he, sort of 36, 37?
Okay, right.
Something like that. You know, it's fair to say he's very much in the twilight of his career. He's on 97 Premier League goals, and I think when he went to Palace, would that have been the last time he was in the league? Certainly when he went to Palace, he was very keen to try and get 100 Premier League goals under his belt.
Yeah, he scored one league goal for Crystal Palace, apparently.
Yeah, so I think, according to the PremierLeague.com, he's got 97 goals.
I mean, we have to say, this isn't quite like Gibril Cissé trying to come back to football with a full hip replacement because he wants to hit the 100 in the league.
Yeah, I know, I very much agree with that. So, I don't know, get him back in there, get a few goals under his belt, and off he goes again.
Is in good nick. I mean, I do wonder if after Ivanovic signing, the Slaven Bilic question is, how old are you? I really want experience in this team. Well, I'm so old that I dropped the Russian Cup and broke it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You're not letting him get away with that, Andy.
No, I'm really not.
Shout out to Emmanuel Adebayor as well for actually giving us something to talk about West Brom. So that's also a bonus.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Brings us nicely.
Think, what am I going to say? And then all of a sudden, Bilic goes and links with Adebayor and everyone at Ramble that HQ's happy.
And it sees us into the break, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Right, ladies and gentlemen, good news. There's a Patreon competition. A reminder that you can sign up and support us on Patreon, where you'll receive loads of extra behind-the-scenes content and bonus podcast episodes from as little as $5 a month. This week, for example, myself and Pete sat down for an episode of Ramble On, where we talked about Pete's fantasy football career. It goes as you would expect.
I am playing a decent level at G-League. I get Vemfra Kofu promoted.
There we go! A bit
we
of success!
We are back in G-League 1. Marcus.
Yeah.
I only help land them the Emperor's Cup.
Yeah. Come on. There we go!
Come on.
It's the Emperor's new cup.
I'm 34.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that King Kazu...
Yep. Is 85 in the shade.
He is still, I think he scored, did he score a goal recently? I want to
probably
say he scored a goal recently.
You and him up top?
Yeah. No, I would never, no. I would embarrass him with my pace and power and all kind of at 34. But I've landed the team, the Emperor's Cup. Then I break my leg.
Why?
Year out,
it's
season
your
out.
Fantasy football career, and you've chosen to break your own leg. Why do this?
Season
to
out, terrible MRSA staph infection. There's questions about whether I'm going to lose it. Yeah. There are questions about whether I'm going to lose it,
and you die. And that was the end of Pete Dalton's career.
Oh my God, Brassy was gone. Brassy was gone. Pete Dawson gets to choose in a Patreon exclusive bonus episode. He gets to choose his own fantasy football career, and he has worked into his own career narrative a broken leg for himself.
In the twilight of his career.
Be harder to come back from, wouldn't it?
Why can even recorded Donaldson get me?
Well, on Patreon, we also run monthly competitions for our subscribers, and this month is, of course, no exception. It's another cracker. If you sign up to our Patreon this weekend, you'll be entered into a competition to win a brand new Xbox One or PlayStation 4, whichever you fancy, and a copy of the brand new FIFA 21. Come on. Simply sign up at patreon.com/footballramble by 5 a.m. British time on Monday, 28th September. Everyone signed up before the deadline, including those of you who are already on Patreon, and you're already subscribing, will be eligible for the prize. Signing up to a higher tier also makes you more likely to win. If you sign up to our Supporters Club tier, you'll be entered once into the competition. If you sign up to our Ramble On tier, you'll be entered twice into the competition. And if you sign up for our highest tier, as well as becoming an official friend of the Ramble, your name will be entered three times into the competition.
If you go on the highest tier, Pete Donaldson comes around and breaks your leg.
No, he lets you break his leg.
Yeah, that's it.
Because
yeah.
it's what he wants, yeah. remember?
Yeah.
So head to patreon.com/footballramble by 5 a.m. this Monday to enter, and we'll announce the winner on this coming Monday's episode of The Football Ramble.
Good luck.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for emails. Those of you who have emailed show@footballramble.com have had a chance to enter this sort of competition, if you will. And we have a winner. Luke Moore. Yeah, Robbie Robinson.
To make it absolutely clear, Robbie, you haven't won anything other than getting me to read out your email and possibly, if I decide to, be a bit dismissive about it. Let's see how we go. Hi, Ramble, says Robbie. Just carrying on from the news that Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney investing in Wrexham. And by the way, I'm not sure we said this yesterday, Marcus, but Ryan Reynolds is actually Canadian, not American.
He is, yeah. I think Vish may have said something.
Vish as well. You can't get the staff these days.
No.
He said, I thought I'd look at other celebs who are involved in English teams. Obviously, your classic celeb owners are your Eltons and your Delias.
Yeah,
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but funnily enough, there are Hollywood interests in other parts of Wales. Mindy Kaling from the US office is an investor in Swansea City.
No.
Yeah. And apparently, and I checked this as well, I didn't know this, Andy, you'll know this, LeBron James has invested in Liverpool. He owns 2% of Liverpool.
Yeah, he was given it as a gift by the owners, and now it's worth about
$43 million. I checked.
It's worth about seven times what it was worth when he got given
Flipping
it.
Yeah. Nora. Yeah.
And apparently, Stephen Fry and Ed Balls were involved in Norwich City alongside Delia as well. So it's perhaps a little bit more prevalent than you think.
I knew Fry was a big fan of Norwich City. I didn't know he was Eddie Balls. Who knew?
Yeah. When's Ed Balls Day? Once a year, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know about that, Andy?
No.
Well, and Ed Balls he tweeted his own name on Twitter by accident because he was trying to search for his own name mentions. And everyone on Twitter jumped on it, and it's become Ed Balls Day every year. To be honest, I think the world's gone to absolute shit since then, so I'm not sure people observe it anymore.
It's not Ed Balls' fault, though.
No.
I accidentally tweeted simply the word Zlatan earlier in the week.
Thinking, that's fine. People wouldn't care.
Thinking I was putting it into our WhatsApp group.
Oh, really? Okay.
When he scored against Bologna.
Ah, okay. I once, this was years ago, somebody tweeted me, like, again, probably like 8 or 9 years ago, oh, how are you getting on, Marcus, blah, 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 something like that. And I replied, thinking I was replying to him, going, yeah, not too bad, blah, 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 but I just tweeted it out there. So
the best version of that is Dean Windass replying that to himself, isn't it?
Oh, that's class.
How is everyone today? Dean Windass tweeted, how is everyone today? And then the next reply was Dean Windass replying to himself, saying, yeah, not too bad, mate, how are you?
Yeah. He's got the same name as me.
Yeah.
I've got an email here from Matt Russell who says, hey Ramblers, as the Football Ramble has become the breeding grounds for the destruction of the beautiful game.
Oh, I mean, that's been that for some time.
Yes, I was going to say, you haven't rumbled us. I thought I'd toss in some additional nonsense. Why not make the penalty area a semicircle? Similar to basketball, with the penalty area culminating 18 yards from the centre of the goal. Penalties given in the corners of the 18-yard box can be far from goal and feel cheap.
Yeah.
You know what? I think he's reading between the lines. I think, like you yesterday, Marcus, he's mixing his metaphors. Mm. And I think he's suggesting the basketball semicircle, but he actually wants a hockey short corner.
Yeah. I think that's right.
I think you're absolutely right, Andy. I'm glad you interpreted that, because I was just going to call
him. I think Matt Russell should be ashamed of himself. And I think I'm going to go in and block his email.
Yeah.
If he wants to email again, he's going to have to set up a new Gmail.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. We've got some standards here. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's talking about us being the breeding ground for the destruction of the beautiful game.
Well, to be fair to Matty Russ, he does say, if, however, this was implemented at the cost of points for winning a half, I want this email destroyed and this idea never spoken of again. Well, we can certainly promise you that. So there we are. Interestingly, Dave Fraser, another listener who we assume doesn't know Matt, actually got in touch with exactly the same suggestion.
Wow.
Wouldn't it be lovely?
Maybe that's another email address he's got. We've got him.
Has anyone had a look on the Patreon? I just wonder if the listeners are fucking with us and they thought, let's all send in the same weird suggestion at the same time.
So we'll endorse it.
Yeah.
Andy, you've, I think you've rumbled it, mate.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's a conspiracy that goes to the very heart of the deep state here.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. show@footballramble.com to get your nonsense into us. Chaps, Everton versus Palace. this coming round of fixtures, Andy, this game week in the Premier League.
Yeah, this section of the show, Marcus, might well be renamed Andy Gets a Good Run-Up at taking the piss out of me for my Everton shout yesterday.
Yeah, Luke said on the show that with a keeper change, Everton could challenge for top four.
Can I let everyone down and say I don't think that's entirely unreasonable?
He's acolyte. Acolyte of Ancelotti, that's why.
Come on.
I think fourth is quite open.
Can I go even further, gentlemen? I actually think
third. Luke's game. It's Luke's game. Yeah. You want second?
Champions.
Yeah.
I think with the keeper, they could challenge for top four.
Wow. That's because you love Jordan Pickford.
I love everybody involved in that.
With the keeper playing at centre back and Michael Keane going in goal.
Yeah.
Well, if you want that.
Do you understand the point I was making about the Pickford, though?
Do you want to understand the severity of what you've said, Andy?
Yeah, I do. I just don't think that. I think busy is the right word for Pickford, but I also think he's young enough that he shouldn't be written off. I think the interesting thing with Ancelotti is the fact that he will allow a player a certain room for slack, a certain room to grow, and a certain patience, and then that patience will run out very suddenly.
Instantly, yeah.
And that happened at Paris Saint-Germain with... Mamadou Sakho a little bit. You know, he made a few errors.
Who he faces tomorrow? Oh, this weekend?
Yeah, and it's like, and he was, oh, it's one of those things, he's a young player. But he reached that point where he's, you're not learning now, and just got rid of him.
Imagine that. If you play under Ancelotti, you're a young player until he wakes up one day and he says, oh, you're not anymore, and you're off.
Yeah.
I think the only player that's ever broken Ancelotti is Marco Verratti. And I understand Marco Verratti is quite hard to manage because he simply never stops talking. Never stops talking. Mm-hmm. You can see that on the pitch, can't you?
Similar to Bruno.
When you see him. Yeah, that's it. Mm. But I do think it's not about the Carlo Ancelotti belief. It's about the James Rodriguez belief. And he will have tougher games than he has had over the last couple of weeks against a Tottenham that weren't really quite at it. And West Brom. But he has been excellent in both of them. And bearing in mind that he's come off a spell where he's hardly played for a season, I think it's very, very impressive. The idea that he was going to be bullied when he could take care of himself in the Bundesliga was clearly nonsense.
And Roy Hodgson's waiting for him.
Yeah. And I think we should
have Palace away from home as well.
Yes.
That's a thing, isn't it?
We should have a note. We should spare at least a mention for Palace because they had a very good pre-season. They've had a good start to the season. They were decent at Old Trafford. May not were very disappointing, but Crystal Palace were decent. And if we're going to talk in the first half about Man City having players unavailable, Crystal Palace have got a lot of players out, seven or eight players who aren't available to them.
Essentially, Palace are English Sevilla. You give them a decent centre forward and watch them go.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair
that's show. True. And you're thinking, you know, Hodgson's got form in the Europa League as well.
He has.
There we go.
Not with Palace, of course.
No. And I was just going to say, when Eze comes back, when Eze gets to play, I think clearly Roy Hodgson is kind of bedding him in at the moment. Mm-hmm. Once he gets to play more regularly, I think he'd be a really exciting player.
Well, I think we mentioned on here before, like, his true value is drawing some of the fire from Zaha. Wilfried Zaha,
Who was excellent at Old Trafford, by the way.
Yeah, he was fantastic, and he's very convincing. And a game like that, and he doesn't have those games often enough, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But when he has a game like that, you think, yeah, he could play for absolutely anyone, and he is worth as much to other clubs as potentially as he is to Palace. But I think if you go back and think, you know, when you had prime Zaha and prime Bolasie, Palace was super fun to watch them. And if you can have that, does it really matter if you haven't got an absolute stone cold striker that you can hang out on?
Benteke will be back soon.
Exactly.
Benteke will be back soon.
With those players, the sort of quick wingers, really, sort of suggesting, is that actually under Hodgson's system, that they fit in all right there. Mm. Hit them on the break, got a lot of the pitch to run in. We saw with what happened with Zaha, it's often the games that they're supposed to win, or at least, you know, the 3 points are there rather than going away to some of the bigger sides. But yeah, I did. I predicted them to beat Manchester United, but by the odd goal.
And if you
scored three,
that was very impressive. And if you've got the flanks completely covered, of course, we're nearing my Palace Nirvana of Patrick Van Aanholt playing at centre forward.
There you go.
His rightful position in the team.
Yeah. There you go.
I'd give him a run at it. They haven't got any strikers traditionally, really, Palace over the last few years that consistently score. So Van Aanholt can put them away. Yeah. Like, he can find the corners, Van Aanholt.
Would you judge me if I asked if Connor Wickham was still on the books?
No, we'll get him in there.
I wouldn't judge you. I will tell you that, according to my resources here,
this is how I'm getting into the vault for Luke's game.
Yeah. that's naughty.
He's currently injured.
Yeah, no, well, obviously, yeah.
Listed as injured, yeah. It's as you were with Conor Wickham.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, chaps, West Ham are playing Wolves this game week, as we now call it. Nelson Semedo has joined Wolves. Semedo has joined Wolves from Barcelona. Semedo. Yeah. I was right the first time.
Yeah, back yourself, brother.
I'm sorry, cousins. £37 million. Andy, what do you reckon of Big Nels?
A lot of cash.
Yes, I thought so.
And
people can say Donald transfers don't really make much.
And people are going to say he came from Barcelona, etc. I like Nelson Semedo a lot. I think sometimes he's not had the faith at Barcelona that he might have done.
He's played a lot
for
Barcelona.
He has played a lot of games and he's never truly convinced, which I think is a little bit of an issue.
Is it surprising to you that Wolves have gone down the road of signing a Portuguese player?
Well, especially in the light of the new away kit.
They're shocked. Their away kit or their third kit? They've just gone, right, we're having the Portuguese national team shirt.
Yes, the third
fuck
kit.
It.
Yeah.
It's got the brand in now.
It is beautiful.
It's amazing. It's a beautiful shirt. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But he was someone who came from Benfica, highly rated. People were excited about him, right? And he goes to Barcelona. And without going into another episode of OTC, because we don't need to do that here, we could argue perhaps that the conditions at Barcelona haven't really been conducive to players playing well.
Maybe, but
so it's a new start for him.
They've been trying to sell him for a while, and yeah, they've never had any takers. And it's always been felt they overrated him a little bit. But even when they were fishing for interest for him in the market, they weren't fishing at this price. Mm. So I'm not quite sure where the price is coming from. You know, if he works out, who cares? It doesn't really matter. I remember thinking at the time, they've overpaid for Raul Jimenez, who was not a regular starter for Benfica. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in, is a starter all the time because they don't have any other strikers. Yeah. And he's absolutely flying. So how he's worked before doesn't necessarily dictate how he's going to play for Wolves.
Yeah. And he has a lot of experience. And he's essentially a replacement for Matt Doherty, though, wasn't he? So
Yeah. Which that's a kind of odd move. They would let Matt Doherty go to essentially a rival and then pay loads more money for a replacement who might not work.
Semedo doesn't feel like that much of an upgrade.
No, exactly.
In terms of price.
I suppose Matt Doherty, I don't know, but Matt Doherty was just desperate to go and that was the end of it. Because they didn't get much money for him either.
13, 14?
Yeah, I was very surprised. Anyway, that's yesterday's news, brothers.
Indeed, indeed. I'd say probably one of, if not the biggest game of, I say the weekend, it's on Monday evening, 8 p.m. So we'll talk about that.
On Monday.
Maybe preview that on Monday. Liverpool v Arsenal. Tasty.
Yeah, it is tasty. Liverpool got their cheapies last night, didn't they? They're playing Lincoln away. Lincoln's manager is Michael Appleton.
Oh, yeah.
Who used to manage Portsmouth. Yeah. I've got a bit of an affection for because he managed Portsmouth at their darkest moment and actually did, in the circumstances, I felt like a passable job and seemed like a good guy.
And those biceps.
Yeah, he's gigantic. Mm. But I felt quite sorry for him. So I always kind of see him. I always want to look out for him, want to see him doing well. Mm-hmm. And they got tonked 7-2, which is a shame. But the quality of goals from Liverpool was really good. I mean, the first three or four, I think, were all from outside the area.
Yeah, they were. They've just got a lot of good goals. Curtis Jones is exciting.
He is a very exciting player. And this will be a measure, actually, I think, on Monday night. And as you say, Marcus, we can cover it on Monday. But this will be a measure of how far Arsenal have come, I think. Mm. It's a good test for them.
Because the two teams they've played so far, not great. And also, they could have lost that game against West Ham.
Yes.
Which would have been they easily could have done, and it would have been very deflating in the light of the win on the first game of the season and Aubameyang's contract extension, etc. I think without being patronising to Arsenal, I think the performance is at least as important as the result here.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Like if they lose a game to Liverpool, they'll get over it.
I know
the
what you
world
mean.
Will get over it.
Yeah. Arteta wants to see the players implementing what he wants to do.
Exactly. If they're shit or they get battered, I think it's an issue and you feel they're not quite back to square one, but it's people starting to talk about, well, he's got an awfully big job rather than he's magic.
Yeah, and before we get into, before we move on, Marcus, we started off talking about Roy Delap some, but there was a really interesting article about the Liverpool throwing coach in The Guardian.
We
don't have to go into it in depth at the moment, but it was really well worth a read. I mean, because for a couple of reasons. One, because it was genuinely insightful as to how a top club is innovating in an area that you wouldn't necessarily expect. Mm-hmm. And two, because it would have sent tabloid journalists absolutely fuming all over Fleet Street.
Yeah.
Because The Guardian had done like a full long form piece with Thomas Gronemark, the throwing coach at Liverpool. But he's an interesting guy.
He's
been offered jobs at loads of Premier League clubs, but he's refused to work with any others. It'd be a conflict of interest to do it.
Well, he's an interesting character, Andy.
He really should do some public service work in, because people can't take throw-ins properly anymore.
That's what you're saying.
I know that goes above and beyond what he does goes above and beyond that. But
well, Andy, I'll tell you what his thinking is. I'm the only one in the world.
Yeah.
Right. The whole planet.
Yeah.
Billions of people with such in-depth knowledge of throw-ins.
Is that on his Tinder?
Which is actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So not only does he make the bold comment about himself, he then says, which is actually a pretty big deal if no one's taking him seriously. Because football is a 140-year-old sport. Until I release the book I'm working on, I'll keep my secrets to myself. Oh, he's a big tease, isn't he?
I'd like what to see... would be the ultimate twist, I think, in this year's Premier League title race if Manchester City said, all right, well, Rory Delap's our new throwing coach.
I think what would be the ultimate twist, Andy, would be what I would like to see happen, where the throwing rules just completely relaxed and we can always get on with our lives because they're just really petty and needly for no reason, I
think. Let's put him out of business and bring kick-ins in. Where's your book now, you mug?
Yeah. Imagine how Liverpool fans would react to that. Anyway, it's time for Betway's 4 to Score. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Okay, Andy, game one this week is yours. Our friends at Betway have selected West Brom v Chelsea, Saturday tea time kickoff. Who's your pick?
Well, my first reaction when I saw West Brom versus Chelsea was
Branislav Ivanovic.
Romelu Lukaku and Nikola Anelka.
Yeah.
But seeing as I can't have either of them.
Yeah, they don't play for them.
Or Emmanuel Adebayor just yet.
No. Are you going for Cyril Regis?
I'm going to have Kai Havertz.
Kai Havertz, okay, to build on his the Carabao Cup success. Kai Havertz in the game one. Game two is mine. Leeds travel to Sheffield United. Should be a tasty one. Sunday midday. I've gone for Patrick Bamford, who started the season really well.
He has. Yes.
I'm really pleased for him, actually, because he was pigeonholed as this kind of not good enough for the Premier League type striker. Bielsa appears to have changed that. And damn it all, to give Bamford his credit, Bamford himself has changed it as well.
Fine head of hair as well.
Lovely. Great to see. Game three is Manchester City versus Leicester City, Sunday afternoon. And we've given that to our good friend, Vish.
Hello, Ramblers. My 4 to Score this week for the Manchester City-Leicester City game is going to be Gabriel Jesus. I kind of feel like he's coming into his own and potentially about to pip Sergio Aguero as the number one front man. So, Gabriel Jesus.
There you go. Vish has chosen Gabriel Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Sorry.
Do you know Gabriel Jesus?
Not just Vish having a problem with it.
He's actually Canadian.
Yeah, he is. Not people know that.
No.
Gabriel Jesus is game number three. Game number four, Marcus, falls to you. I suspect I know who you're going to pick here because you've got Fulham versus Aston Villa.
Ali Mitrovic.
Good shout. He looked like he was carrying a bit of weight to me.
Oh, yeah. It's all power, though.
Do you think he is?
The only weight he'll be carrying on Monday night is the match ball.
It's the rest of the Fulham team.
Yeah. How dare you.
All right, so that is those are our four Betway 4 to Score picks. Kai Havertz, Patrick Bamford, Gabriel Jesus and Alexandra Mitrovic. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game if you want to play. It is, of course, completely free. Further T's and C's apply as well. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Okay. You've all been waiting for it, I'm sure. It's time for this. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yeah, it's got the shittiest jingle ever. but it is in fact time for Luke's game, and it is a belter this week.
Oh, come on.
It's a difficult one. Look, I was really busy yesterday and last night so I thought I'll get the algorithm running yesterday early, fired it up early, and she's generated a number of different players, which is going to be quite problematic, I think, for both of you, but we'll give it a go anyway. Play along at home as well. You need fire in the belly, you need your head in the freezer.
You need a pen and paper after what happened with Roy Hodgson last week. So
you do.
Exactly what I've brought.
You do. He actually went out to the other office to get the pen and paper before the show. I don't remember, because it was a couple of weeks ago, who went first last time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand it to Marcus Speller to go first.
Okay.
I've picked that at random before we came in the studio. Assistant producer Finn, he oversaw the process. It was perfectly fair, and you will be able to send any complaints you may have, Andy, to the Ombudsman.
Is that why you're wearing white gloves?
Yeah, exactly. And I will file that letter in my pigeonhole.
Do you know, Luke,
which of course is any bin.
People disappointed that you're not getting in the contestants.
Seat. I know. Well, look, maybe we could do that. Maybe at Christmas. Give people a treat.
Indeed.
How clueless I really am. All so, right. Marcus, you
far
are
away.
First, okay?
Far away.
Here's the pen going on.
There you go. Just about heard that. The first player has played for 14 clubs.
Oh, hellfire.
Right. And I have to remind everyone, and everyone listening at home as well, that a quick game is a good game.
Yes. So why'd you pick this guy?
I don't know. It's the algorithm. 14 clubs. Step away from the iPad, please, Andy.
Come on, Andy.
I'm just using it to lean on.
Impartiality rules must be honoured and respected. 14 clubs. He retired last year in a career spanning 21 years.
Yeah.
It's Big John Parkin.
Oh, my giddy aunt.
Do you know, I've dreaded John Parkin coming up.
Have you?
All these weeks. Because I thought he's played less. I've no idea where any of the clubs he's played for.
He's giving you a clue there, mate.
Well, I've no idea either.
Yeah. Played 14. You've probably got a one in about 15 chance of just picking any club and it being right.
I'll go three.
Three?
I'll let him do three.
Okay. So three that John Parkin's played for, one at a time, if you don't mind.
Preston North End.
Might take me a while to check these. That's correct.
Cardiff City.
Also correct.
Ooh.
Well played.
And the last one would be... bollocks. Middlesbrough.
I'm afraid not. That's that point goes to Andy. John Parkin has played for, very quickly, in summary, Barnsley, Hartlepool United, York City, Macclesfield Town, Hull City, Stoke City, Preston North End, Cardiff City, Doncaster Rovers, Huddersfield Town, Scunthorpe Town, Fleetwood United. Fucking, what am I doing? Fleetwood Town,
yeah.
Forest Green Rovers, Newport County, and York City again. Yeah. So no Middlesbrough, I'm afraid, Marcus. Andy, you're up next. This player has played for 9 clubs. You're 1-0 ahead. 9 clubs in total. Still playing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, sometimes the algorithm will throw up those types of players. Mm. If you get all 9 of these, I'll give you the money myself. 9 clubs, Mate Vidra.
Right, okay.
Mate Vidra. Quick game is obviously a good game.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Marcus, while Andy's writing stuff down, I thought you did an excellent job last week hosting the special of it. Yeah. How did you find it?
I enjoyed it.
Awful.
Was the hot seat hot?
No, very hot.
Always is, brother.
Yeah.
Andy, what you got?
I'm going to start with 3.
Marcus, can you do 4?
I'm going to have to.
You want to go 4 for Mate Vidra? Aggressive tactics. Listen, I get a lot of letters about this game.
I'm sure.
And the one that I get more than anything else is when Marcus Speller plays aggressively. It's the most exciting experience in podcast competition.
It's what the people want.
He's gone 4. Do you want 5?
No, I've got no more than 4.
It's on you again, Marcus. 1 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
How many did you say?
4.
Did
I say 4?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
4
did,
clubs
yeah.
at Mate. 4 clubs at Mate Vidra has played for.
I said 2.
No, you didn't. You can do 2 and then another 2 if you want.
Chelsea. What?
Incorrect.
He played for Chelsea.
Mate Vidra has not played for Chelsea, I'm afraid.
I'm getting mixed up with Forsell.
Oh, Mikel.
You've done what I did last week.
And early.
Chelsea are ruining Luke's game.
That is so bad.
You can't be aggressive to the point where you don't think about the player himself.
I know, it's piss poor. What have I done?
Mate Vidra currently playing for Burnley, of course.
Yeah, I had Burnley, obviously.
You know who he is.
Yeah, and they do now.
Started at Vysocina Jihlava, then Banik Ostrava, then Udinese, Club Bruges, Watford, West Brom, Watford again, Reading, Derby County and Burnley. Mikel Forsell did, of course, play for Chelsea. I can confirm that. So, for what it's worth, that's correct.
Yeah.
But it's 2-0 to Andy. And Marcus, you will need to pull something out of the fire here.
Yeah.
Okay, but it starts to get a little bit interesting now.
Okay.
6 clubs, retired in 2017. Joey Barton.
Big Joey. Oh, Big Joey.
Joey Barton.
Big Joey. Andy's very animated.
How many did he play for?
6.
6?
Yeah. It's really interesting how you approach this, because you're 2-0 down. You need to make the right tactical play here.
I really do.
It's really important.
It's very important.
Started 2002 his career, ended in 2017.
Yes.
A couple of disciplinary problems with Joe Barton's career.
That doesn't ring any bells.
Give me a number, please. I need a number from you.
I'll go 3.
Andy,
4.
You want 5?
No, you can do four.
Four, Andy, please. One at a time.
Manchester City.
That's correct.
Queen's Park Rangers.
That's also correct.
Olympique de Marseille.
Correct, showing off.
Newcastle United.
I should have gone four. That's very disappointing from me.
Andy Brassel wins. Yeah. Saw that one coming.
Very disappointing.
It is what it is.
Did you have five, Andy?
No.
Yeah.
Enough of that chutney. 3-0 to Andy. Andy, look, we'll close the game out. Andy, you get to go first this time. Play for four clubs. It's Ali McCoist. Came too late for you.
Oh no!
That's annoying.
Yeah, came
Why
too
did
late.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know how the game's going to go, do I? I've no idea how the game's going to go. Why don't you get more points? I could throw it back at you.
I'm so annoyed I didn't go.
Four, Ali McCoist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two?
I'll do all four.
Go for it.
St Johnston, Rangers. Sunderland and Kilmarnock.
Correct. You'd have got one back there. Final one.
I don't think you should have a family member on that.
And the final
Who
one.
Who did
Marcus,
your dad play for?
The final four one clubs. That came out, he's played for nine clubs, retired in 2003, is Laurent Blanc.
Laurent Blanc. Oh, Andy's in pole position for this one, surely. Laurent bloody Blanc.
Nine clubs.
Three. Andy? Is it me to go first, sorry?
It would be you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Three.
Andy?
Start with five?
Start with five.
Go on, then.
Andy, he bid three. So you can start with five and quote something you like, but five's probably going to get you it. So go for it.
Okay. Napoli.
I forgot you played for Napoli.
Bloody hell.
Inter. Yeah. Manchester United.
Yeah.
Olympique de Marseille.
Yeah.
Barcelona.
Correct. It's 4-1 to Andy.
Yeah, there you
go. But I think, look, one thing we've learned...
No, I let myself down with Barn. I should have gone four.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, you can blame me, as you have done, for the Ali McCoist thing coming later.
No, I was annoyed.
Yeah.
I blame you for Ali McCoist being involved at all. I won't forget this more. I will not forget this.
It's not about me, it's about the listeners, and they might blame you for completely mistaking a player for another player.
No, that's fine. Yeah. It's on me.
Yeah.
Big players go home and look in the mirror and say, what could have I done differently?
Exactly. Good
for you. Identified the man correctly.
That's a right from the start. It's a good moral message to our listeners.
And that's what Andy did. You know, he messed up last week.
Yeah, big time.
And he's come back strongly.
I bloody enjoyed that. By the way, I think we all did. Anyway, another edition of Luke's Game. 4-1 to Andy. A great win for Andy. Kate Mason still the lineal champion. She won't go near a Friday now.
No,
because of that, we might have to press gang her in.
Can't hide forever, Mason.
She'll have to be back at some point.
Or will the governing body decide that she has to vacate the title? Find out next week.
Indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's an absolute pleasure having you listen along. As always, we're back on Monday for more Ramble goodness. Until then, say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.